Hi, this is Daniel Garb, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Kip Kemboi is a young man who lives with his family in a small town in Kenya. His parents may be farmers, but he has been a gifted mathematician since he was a child. He can tell you how many birds are flying in a flock in the sky. He scored 100% on his SATs and has been accepted into MIT. But an unexpected family tragedy has kept him close to home. Instead, he has invented a new financial algorithm that allows him, with unbelievable accuracy, to predict stock market gains and losses worldwide, all operated out of a simple mud hut. But when word gets out, police, military, and foreign interests descend on his village to take everything away. He's accused of being a criminal or perhaps even a terrorist. Can Kip Kemboi outrun and outsmart the powers that be? Kip Kemboi is the name of a highly entertaining dramatic film filled with humor, thrills, and romance. Kip Kemboi is the first Canada-Kenya co-production ever made, and word is spreading. It's directed by Charles Uwagbai and stars Pamela Mpumulwana in the title role. Charles is a Canadian-based director known for The Ghost and The Toot, as Sohi and Charlie Charlie, and whose work has been seen on Netflix, Amazon Prime Video, and Canal Plus, among other outlets. Kip Kemboi screened recently at a gala premiere in Toronto with many other screenings and broadcasts in the works. So I'm very pleased to have here with me via Zoom Charles Uwagbai to tell us more about Kip Kemboi. Hi, Charles.
Hi.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Charles, how did you first hear about this project and what attracted you to it?
So the producer of Leonard and Jen reached out to me via email if I was interested and available to work on a project in Africa. I asked them to send the script. I read the script and I was immediately drawn to the project. I always say that what actually attracted me to the project was the positive message of hope and that inspirational message that the film has. Yeah.
And I understand you're not from Kenya. You're from the opposite side of the continent, from Nigeria. Was that your first time in East Africa?
I've been to East Africa a couple of times. I've actually filmed in East Africa before, but this will be my first major production in East Africa. Africa is it's one, like a big continent, but we do have like very similar behaviors and similarities. Yeah, so doing the film, it wasn't so much of a big deal because, you know, it's the same way our parents react to things. You know, we're the black people behave in a particular way. Yeah. So it wasn't so hard to like blend in to feel what the Kenyans would feel.
And I think English is spoken in both countries other languages.
Exactly.
But what would you say are the biggest differences between East and West Africa, things that stood out to you?
Okay, so the culture, in terms of the traditional culture, I would say is different. The way the people behave, they're very, very conservative in Kenya, I would say. They're very more calmer. Nigerians are more louder, more playful, more vibrant people. But otherwise, yeah, they're pretty much the same black community. Apart from that, we've filmed like in the countryside, like very, very way into the country, like just by the border of the Tanzania, yeah. The highlands where the runners practiced, so it was a very calm and quiet and beautiful place where we filmed most of the shoots in Kenya.
Now, a lot of the story is focused on a mud hut with a thatched roof with a tall satellite tower right beside it. Now, mm-hmm. It's intrinsic in the plot of Kip Kemboi, but I understand the hut and the tower predate the film. What is it? How did it get there?
Okay, so the story was written by Joel Richardson, and Joel has been going to Kenya for over 30 years, and he's been to that village Metipso where we shot the film. He's lived there for a bit, and he always wanted to do something to tell the story of that place to the people can see what he has seen. That place. Like I said, it's a very small magical place, beautiful. The winds, when you're there, you hear the winds, the birds. The people are very friendly, very accommodating, and that is what we wanted to show in that film. So Kip Kemboi lives in that small hut and a small place, but there are people there doing great stuff. For instance, we have a world record Olympic holder, Matthew Berry, who's also executive producer of the film, who won the 100-meter hurdle on the Olympics. He has a gold medal for that. So people are doing great stuff from that place. So he wanted to tell a story that says that no matter where you are, no matter where you're coming from, even from this small village, people are doing amazing stuff. Yeah, so we told the story of this mathematician who lives in a hut, a young boy who's doing wonderful things and pulling the whole world, you know, to the village, look for him.
Yeah. And Kip Kemboi in the movie, his last name is this, or correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's the same as the Olympic champion.
Yes, the same name as the Kip Kemboi.
Now, Kip Kemboi is partly also about a secretive figure known only online as Simba, who protests Simba, poverty, yeah, and the lack of equality that many people there face. Now, I don't know if you've been following the news, but there was a massive youth protest this week, yeah, in Kenya, where people were protesting, mm-hmm, a big rise in taxes. So,
yeah,
do you think Kip Kemboi is a reflection of the current atmosphere in Kenya, or total coincidence? What do you think?
First of all, a lot of times when we talk about Africa, we talk about the poverty and, you know, and the lack, you know, of financial aid and some of those things, yeah. So when we talk about freedom fighters, there's a line we use in the film that says, when poverty persists, there is no true freedom. And it's evident in the way of the people, evident in the lives of people today. But a lot of people are speaking out and saying no to bad governance and saying no to corrupt leaders and are saying the wealth is supposed to be for the people, you know, and they're speaking out, which is good, if you ask me. So I think, yeah, it's a reflection of the society today, and that's what we also try to preach in the film. When Kip Kemboi was arrested, you could see, if you saw the film, you could see the way the community stood up and said, you know, we're going to stand with you, we're going to stand with the right message.
And I understand there were similar protests all across Kenya in the past week, just like in the movie.
Movie, yeah.
Now, the two lead actors, aside from Tamala, is Elsie Abang. And they're both Canadian, but most of the rest of the cast is Kenyan. And yeah, they speak English with a Kenyan accent with a lot of Swahili words thrown in. How did they manage to do, mm-hmm, that?
So we got them like a dialect coach weeks before. You know, we went on set. They had the dialect sessions on Zoom. And then when we got to Kenya as well, we had the locals speak to them and teach them and just got them integrated into the whole thing. I remember the first day on set, I walked with Tamala and Elsie into the village, and we were supposed to just do some rehearsals. And then I said, maybe we need to go into the village and just feel the environment, just leave the script for a minute and just imagine that you were here, you live here, how would you react to the people? So we walked into the village, and that experience just brought out the characters in them, if you ask me, because after that moment, we didn't have to do any serious reading or any serious rehearsal anymore. They just started interacting and talking. And there's something about languages. When you interact with the people, when you blend in, you just find yourself becoming the character.
But neither Tamala nor Elsie speak Swahili, I assume, right?
No, they don't. They don't. It's all rehearsals and practice.
Because it sounded very good to me.
Yeah, very believable.
Yeah.
Very, very believable. They both just got an honorary mention at the Oakville Film Festival for acting. So I think they did well. And everyone that's seen the film has commended their acting.
I was, when I saw the screening last week, I was shocked when they spoke English. They're like, they're Canadian. They're clearly Canadian. But in the film, I assumed that. So I assumed that they were acting in the film. I thought they were from there or recently from there, but they weren't. They're from here.
Yeah, it's all practice and acting and just doing their job properly.
What about the Kenyan cast? Were they all from that village or were they brought in from, they well-known actors?
Some of them are known actors. We brought them from Nairobi, the capital city. Most of them, like 90%, just apart from a few extras that we casted from the village itself. And the elders, we got the elders from the village as well. But a lot of them were from Nairobi.
Did they enjoy being filmed or did it make them uncomfortable?
Oh, they enjoyed, everyone enjoyed the film. This is one film that the crew, the cast, all blended in properly. We're all very happy to make the film. It was a great spirit both behind and in front of the camera.
How much shooting did you do in Kenya? Like how many days?
Oh, so we're in Kenya for quite a while, but we shot for about 12 days in Kenya and about 7 days in Toronto.
And I understand it's not sequential. So there are scenes where the outdoor location will be Kenya and the indoor will be Canada. Was that difficult to work out?
That took a lot of planning and prepping and checking and just being sure that we were doing the right thing, because 90% of the interiors were shot in Canada during winter.
In the winter?
All there.
Wow. And Kenya's a pretty hot country.
It is a pretty hot country. So you can imagine shooting a scene that it was so hot and then you're walking into the set and it feels cold and the actors are trying to blend. So that's why I keep saying they did a beautiful job behind and in front of the camera. And then imagine the set. There was a particular scene where they were being chased and they ran into this small looking hut and they ran out from the back. So it's like running in Kenya and then running into somewhere in Canada, in Hamilton, and then running out back into Kenya and then keeping the character. So it was an amazing experience.
Did you have the same, like the hair, makeup, wardrobe in Africa and in Canada?
No, so we had the same production designer in Kenya who like oversaw the whole art department, but the makeup and hair was different in Canada.
Because that's another thing that would be hard to coordinate, I would think.
Yeah, but we had the costumes, brought in from because we shot in Kenya first, brought in from Kenya to Canada, and we brought some of these props, things that were going to be hard to find here. We brought a couple of the small things. We brought them back with us to build the set here.
And finally, this movie, I saw one screening. It's been shown a couple of times, but I understand in the future there are plans for it to tour as well as being shown on TV and online. Can you give me an idea of what to expect in the future so people can see it?
I know it's going to be in CBC Gem 2025. Right now it's still touring like different festivals. Last weekend was also shown in Boston, in Japan, in China, in Africa, it's all over the place, in the US. And we just got a distribution deal in the US as well. Still on the wraps, but you know, as soon as the information is out, we'll share that as well.
Well,
I
think people, when they hear about it, they should go to see it because it's a great movie.
It is a great movie.
Thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I've been speaking with Charles Uwagbay, the director of Kip Kemboy, coming soon to a theater near you. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and my website, culturalmining.com.